Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us this morning is Dr. Rivana Singh, a critical care registrar based out of Mumbai, India. Very, very good morning and thank you for speaking to us. Firstly, how are you doing?
Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. How are you?
Yes, I'm well, but the first question is, how are you doing? I know that the doctors that I'm close to here in South Africa, when we hit a surge, their life just gets turned upside down. How are you managing?
Exactly. I'm all right. I'm doing well. You know, it's so important, you know, at this point in life, to keep, you know, a strong head, a strong mind, a strong resolve. So I'm doing okay. We go in and out, you know, just doctors, nurses, the entire medical staff. We go in and out of having our mental challenges and all of these things. Very, very difficult situation that's going on here in India. India is in a very dire situation, I can say, and the you know, the health infrastructure is in a very precarious situation. So with that being said, we are doing okay. The healthcare facility and we're all doing okay. We're managing.
I mean, there's been so many horrific and tragic stories that certainly that we've been following here on the radio station and I follow on social media, just in terms of the human tragedy of it. And what again, just based on my experience here, it's almost overwhelming, because what we've seen here is that doctors were forced to play roles that they didn't normally have to play because you know, healthy people were not allowed into the hospital. They couldn't be there with those that who were ill and dying. So all of a sudden, the doctors were forced to assume a role that they had never been asked to this extent to assume.
Correct. It's almost catastrophic. I can say that. It's almost unreal. You know, one of the most difficult things, no matter how exposed you are or how seasoned you are as a medical professional, it never gets easy to, you know, break the news to a relative that their loved one is no more, you know. Mm-hmm. And what we are seeing in this specific pandemic, in this second wave of the pandemic, is that the cases are much more severe and they are affecting younger individuals. When I say younger, I mean in the age bracket of 30 to 40s. Previously, in the first wave, it was about 60s, 70s, 80s. It was affecting people in that age bracket. So right now, I can say it is very traumatic for a parent to lose a child. You know, it's traumatic to lose anyone, period.
Of course,
but,
yeah.
You know, at this point in time, it's very, very difficult to break the news to family. And also, they cannot say goodbye to their family members the normal way. You know, because of COVID restrictions and all of these things, restrictions on funerals and viewing of the body and et cetera, et cetera. So it is almost, it's very catastrophic, I can say.
It's the other problem, of course, is even understanding the real numbers, because I know we have that problem here in South Africa where many people who are, we've had all of these, we've had an enormous number of what we're calling unexplained deaths. So they're not COVID-related officially, but the only explanation is COVID, because year on year, suddenly we have these spikes in deaths. Do you think you'll ever get a sense as to just how bad it was in India?
Honestly, in a country like India, that is very difficult. That is very difficult. Number one, it is one of the most populous nations in the world. We have a population of 1.4 billion. So that is a very, you know, the numbers aren't tallied correctly, I can say that. I think majority of the cases, there are much, much, much more cases. There are much more deaths. It's just not being reported. It's only the official numbers that are being reported. And, you know, there are people who are COVID positive and they are being treated at home or they are in isolation. And unfortunately, they do not make it. So, and it also is based on a lot of the families, because of the, you know, the stigma. They don't want to say that, you know, their relative has died of COVID or this type of thing, which is very unfortunate, you know. So they don't report it or even to get death certificates. all of these things, you know. The numbers are vastly undercounted. I can say that for sure. And, you know, India is having a situation, particularly in Delhi, where there's not enough burial grounds or spaces for cremations and all of these things. Yeah. So that is the situation here. It is definitely undercounted. But in a country like India and in such a situation now, the magnanimity of the situation, it is too enormous, I can say. It's getting better, I can say, slightly over the past 2 to 3 days. I can say there is some respite, albeit very, very small. Like there's a reduction in admissions and such. But I think India's getting there, particularly in Mumbai. I feel that the Mumbai model has been, I think other cities and countries and nations should really learn from India.
So tell me about the Mumbai model.
So basically what is happening is the cases in Maharashtra specifically in this state has been decreasing. In other states, there have been, you know, various election rallies and religious gatherings and such. So there has been an explosive amount of cases, explosive. So because, you know, there's been increased testing, there's been, you know, proper management of the, you know, all of the medical supplies in Mumbai, I can say, with ventilators, you know, oxygen concentrators, oxygen PPE, medications and all of that. But there is an issue in other states with regards to, you know, the oxygen, medical oxygen supply and PPE and certain medications like the antiviral drug remdesivir and all of that. So Mumbai has seen a drop in cases and a drop in deaths as well. And I think it would be a good thing for, you know, just any country, you know, because no country is safe at this point. I think India had gotten to this point with regards to the second wave, not even a wave, a tsunami, you know, just because of the complacency, I can say. And, you know, there's various reasons to why that has happened. You know, you can point and blame the finger, but at this point, I think we are all complicit in the complacency, you know, not following COVID regulations, wearing the masks, hand washing, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it is a lesson to be learned for everyone worldwide that, you know, it's no one is ever 100% safe. You know, the best you can do is get vaccinated, continue with the COVID, you know, restrictions, social distancing, hand washing, hand sanitizing, maintaining workplace restrictions, etc.
The vaccine rollout, I mean, I know that it is going and it's going fairly well, but obviously it's just a numbers thing, isn't it?
Right. The thing is, it started quite well in India. It started, I believe, in February. And it was rolled out in steps, initially for healthcare workers and then above the age of 60 and those above the age of 45 with comorbidities being, you know, diabetes or hypertension or some heart disease, immunocompromised states, etc. And now, as of 1st May, it opened up to everyone above the age of 18. It was opened up to people over the age of 18. But the issue is, from the 1st of May, that India has a dearth of vaccines. And so because, which is, it's actually quite a sad thing because India is the number one producer and manufacturer of vaccines worldwide. So there have been a few days, I believe 2 or 3 days in between here and there where, particularly in Mumbai, we had to shut down certain vaccinations, vaccination centers. So that is the issue. Right now, India's population is just, it's massive. So it's going to take a long time to, you know, vaccinate a large percentage of the population to get some sort of protection and some sort of, you know, almost herd immunity, I can say.
Right. And unfortunately, that is where we leave it. Just to tell you that our thoughts, our hearts and our prayers are with you, Dr. Ravana Singh, Critical Care Registrar, based out of Mumbai, India, a very, very difficult situation indeed.